Well, I ask for your prayers tonight as we look into the Scriptures a little bit. This evening, my little burden is inheritance incorruptible. This comes from the book of 1 Peter. And I'd like to, my little burden comes from that first chapter of 1 Peter. And I'd like for us, if you would, to turn with me there and look at these verses. Peter makes a greeting here to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." An inheritance incorruptible. Probably some of you in here have received some type of inheritance. Something that's been handed down to you from someone in a previous generation. Maybe it's a special book, Bible. Maybe you've received money. Maybe you've received some type of real property. It's an inheritance. Something that you have some value, sentimental value. Most of those things that come as inheritance, there are some that have lands and properties, things of that nature have some intrinsic value to them. They have some real value to them. But many times there are things that have value only to the receiver, because they have some sentimental value to them. And I remember feeling this keenly when I was at my grandfather Ralph Beasley's home after they had both passed away. And they had a sale there. And the auctioneer was getting things ready to set up. The tables and all was set up with materials, goods, things that they had used and things in the home and from his shop, barn. And the auctioneer started rattling off. And people started raising their hands and bidding on things. And one by one, little by little, things started going away, carrying a little bit here, a little bit there. They started hauling it off. And I sat back and looked at all that, and it hit me a little bit. These are things that, to me, were things that they had had their hands on. And it had some value to it, in my mind. But to another man that comes from three or four counties away or wherever, hearing about an estate sale and an auction, he comes in and sees these things and says, "This is going to be a good buy. If I can get it for this, I'll start my bid here, and if I can get it for this, I'll walk away with this and I can really use it." And he gets it and has no idea the value that it might have to one of the family members who are there. One of the things that I picked up that day, and the auctioneer told the group, he said, "I want you to understand something. This is going to be just a little bit different than what we've done in the past." He said, "There are some family members who are here who live out of state, and this is their first opportunity to be able to put their hands on any of these items." He said, "Their money is just as good as yours. If they see an item that they want and they want to bid on it, they have that right." And I remember that my grandfather had done some tree trimming throughout the little town of Coffeyville. And he had a little hatchet with a handmade scabbard for it. And that thing seemed like razor sharp to me. I still got it in my toolbox at home. And he used that when he climbed those trees to chop off little small limbs where he could get to them. And it was easy for him. And I thought, "I'm going to go home with that hatchet. He's had his hand on it. I'm going to take that home with me." Well, I did. It had value to me. It had more value to me than anyone else probably looking on at the scene. So I was willing to pay a higher price for it because of what the value was to me. Inheritance. But there's coming a day when, if time lasts, years roll on, and I'll get down to a place where I'm no longer walking the face of this earth, somebody will go out there and open my toolbox and see that hatchet laying there, and they may or may not remember anything about it. And they may just cast it aside, or they may hand it to somebody that doesn't even know who it belonged to. Hey, would you like to have a hatchet? Turn around and walk away with it. Inheritance, incorruptible, as opposed to an inheritance, corruptible. There are things, folks, that perish with the using. There are things that just disappear. They wear away over time. These human bodies do that. They wear away over time. There's nothing that you and I have in our physical possession that's going to last us forever. But the Lord has died and came forth from that tomb so we could have an inheritance incorruptible, and thank God for it. We can possess something that will last for eternity, and we ought to be so very, very thankful for what the Lord has made available to us. Now, He said there's an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. It's not corrupted in any kind of way. It's not polluted any kind of way. It doesn't fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal at the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I'd like to look at this sentence for just a moment. What is much more precious? What is the subject in this sentence? Is it trial or faith? Trial is the subject. Of your faith? It's a prepositional phrase. What's the verb? Being. Right? State of being. It's what a noun is, was, or will be. What's the object of the preposition? It's a prepositional phrase. Trial, being. This is the object of preposition. All right? Of your faith. And what is the direct object? Precious. Trial being precious. Have you ever thought about that, folks? What the Apostle Paul says here is that the trial being precious. Have you ever thought of that trial, the trial of your faith, being precious, more precious than gold? Gold perishes with the using. Gold itself, as valuable as it is, wears away over time. I have a silver dime in my wallet that I have carried for years. There's been a time or two it slipped out of there and I've been able to recover it. I got it taped in there where my little pictures are. I had some silver quarters that I used to carry in my pocket. I could distinguish them from the other coins in my pocket by the sound that they made when you dropped them. And I always enjoyed reaching down in my pocket and just rattling those coins and listening to that silver. A very distinct silver sound. But do you know what happened to those quarters? Over time, they wore. They got rubbed, smoothed out, scratches on them. They were nice looking, almost pristine looking quarters when I first found them. I used to work as a clerk in a convenience store. And when I'd hear those silver coins, I'd go through that coin tray every once in a while. I'd take change from customers, and I would hear those coins dropping, and I'd hear it. I knew that that was something different. And I'd go looking in there, and there it was. Sure enough, there's a silver dime, a silver quarter. And I'd pull those things out and make my exchange. But those things perish with the using. Even the gold that has such a high value to it in our minds, it wears away over time. But this thing that the Lord has promised to us, that Peter is talking to us about, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. The trial being precious. I want us, when we leave here this evening, I want us to, when we walk out these doors, remember trial being precious. That when trials come in life, that the Lord has allowed them to come our way, that it is a precious opportunity for us to be refined. It is a wonderful opportunity for the Lord to show Himself strong in our behalf. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to show our dedication to the Lord, for us to be willing to show that we mean business. That when we face the trials, when they do come, rather than knuckling down under them or buckling under them, that we knuckle down and we face the trial and we walk through the trial and we make it through onto the other side with victory. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, there's a comparison. It's more precious than the gold that people put such high value on. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Gold perishes with the use. But if we'll allow the trial to be precious, our faith will get deeper and stronger in the Lord, in the confidence of knowing that He is there, will be there, that when I face the next trial in life, when I face the next circumstance in life, that my trial being tried, my trial being precious, knowing that it is that opportunity the Lord is using to refine me, it increases my faith and it gets deeper and stronger. James says it this way. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I want to read that verse in more of a modern type of language here. But let patience have her complete work, that ye may be whole and entire, lacking nothing. You hear that? That's why the trial is precious. Because patience, the trying of your patience, the trying of your faith, the trying of all of these things, it works to our eternal good if we'll let it. We can throw up our hands in frustration and we can run, we can duck our heads, we can quit, or we can stay in it and stay in it to the end and come out the other side the victor and feel that closer relationship with the Lord. Trials are to purify or to make something sterling. Sterling is genuine, pure, of excellent quality. There is a scripture in the book of Proverbs. See if I can find that scripture quickly here. I believe it's chapter 26. Yes, verse 23. Chapter 26 of Proverbs, verse 23. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. A potsherd, piece of pottery, covered with silver dross. You know what silver dross is? The dross is what's come off the top. The dross is what's floated to the top to be skimmed off. It's not the pure thing. A potsherd that's covered with this silver dross can look oh so nice from a distance. But when you get up close and you start examining, you realize it's not the real thing. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. To let patience have her perfect work. Let it make your life sterling. Let it make it genuine, pure, of excellent quality. Have you seen that little phrase, sterling silver? It means it's pure, it's genuine, excellent quality. It's not dross. It's not a piece of clay pottery that's been covered with silver dross just to polish up and look nice sitting on the shelf that has almost zero value, except to the one that owns it. But it really is empty. It's nothing really fancy about it, except it kind of reminds me of the scripture that says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. You can dress up a pig oh so pretty and put everything you want to on it, but it's still a pig. And if I don't have this trial of my faith, if I don't have that with me in life, if I don't have that thing perfecting me, making me complete, bringing the dross to the top so the Lord can skim off the dross and have that pure, sterling, genuine quality life, folks, that's what we're looking for. And that's what we need. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. We can kick in the traces. We can snatch in the harness. Or we can submit to the trial that the Lord has allowed to come our way. And when we are willing to submit to that, we find out, maybe not at the instant, maybe not at the onset, but we find out on the other side of it that the trial being precious, not just precious, a modifier, more precious, not just more precious, much more precious. Much more precious than what? Than of gold that perisheth. You see, we put value on things that we can hold. The Lord puts the value on the things that are eternal. Those things that have real, lasting value. I remember Sister Nava Jo Hutchinson, it's been many, many years ago. We were in a Sunday school class. I believe it was right here in this chapel. We were having a discussion in the Sunday school about faith and things that are eternal, things that are real. And she asked the question, and this stayed with me through these years, rings in my mind every once in a while. She asked the question, what is more real? The chairs that you and I are sitting on? Or God in heaven? What is more real? And I sat there and I listened to that. I thought, do you know? The chair that I'm sitting on, I can feel it. I can see it. But God, I can't prove scientifically that He exists. But I know He's there. Those things that are eternal are real. The chair that I was sitting on, over time, would perish with the using. One day it would collapse, it would be done, it would have run its course, it would have finished its job and couldn't do it anymore. No more ability to use it, no more ability to get any use out of it. Thrown away in a dumpster somewhere, maybe melted in a furnace. But God, faith, those things last forever. These things perish with the using. Trial of the faith, being more precious, and gold, fine gold. Folks, if the Lord chooses to use something in your life, something to come across your path to try you, be thankful for it. Peter said, this is an inheritance incorruptible. One more little passage in the book of Hebrews. It uses a little bit of strong language, but it has some real strong meaning too. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And that term means not knowing who your father is. You don't know who your father really is. Well, you have a father. But there's no real interest. He shows no real interest in your life. Doesn't do anything to correct you, change you, teach you, train you. Maybe he's not even a figure in your life. Absent. Moved away, gone away, never knew him. That's not the way our Heavenly Father is. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Our responsibility is to stay in that place where the Lord can chasten us, where He will chasten us, because we want to be chastened of the Lord. Do we enjoy it? No. But we want to be because we know that we are chastened because He loves us. So when you come to this place where the trial of your faith, when it comes, remember, it's much more precious than of gold, than fine gold, gold that perishes. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. God bless each one. Amen.